We'll just start. And we are live. Welcome, 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 everybody, back to another wonderful and amazing interview. Today with me, I have the privilege of having Yola, very, very, very long last name that I will butcher every single time. So I'm going to call her the lovely Yola here to talk to us a little bit more about happiness. Now, Yola approaches happiness from a way that I personally love, which is you get it through travel. But what happens when you can't travel? So Yola, thank you so much for being with us on this interview tonight. It's really, really great to have you here. And I'm excited about how you can share with us how to find that same little travel happiness dopamine hits in a time of COVID chaos.
You got it, Rebecca Summit. How are you? How is Canada these days? How is everything? How is
Canada's warm? Well, my part of Canada. See, Canada has about like 18 different weather systems going on right now. So right now, today, it's a balmy 26 degrees Celsius, which is 80-ish, I guess, Fahrenheit. Not too sure, but winter is coming and we're very aware.
Well, I'm hearing winter is here right now. So just let's relax. Let's just forget about winter. Let's talk about summer.
We still have summer.
Guys, welcome everyone who jump on the call later on, maybe replays. Yes, my name is Yola. I live on east coast of the United States, but as you hear from this accent, I wasn't born here. I am originally from Poland. And Rebecca invited me to this call about happiness because I'm presenting in a summit on topic of happiness X factor.
And just to interrupt you for a second, that's the Take Charge Challenge Summit that I've been talking to you guys about. I will put a link in the comments as soon as we are done. Sorry, y'all. I wanted to make sure that people knew that we're in this conference together. 12 coaches for that, you know, valued at over $6,000, all for the price of 47. So there you go. There's my pitch. Go ahead.
Very good. No pitching here. It's just the pure joy to talk about what I absolutely love. So my take was just to share about how to be happy, you know, and because my personal favorite recipe for happiness, and I will give it away because it will come out in a seminar anyway, is travel. And there's no question about it, it's proven. So Rebecca's question, so what are you, miserable right now? Like,
I'm
miserable, I can't take it. No.
Okay, not miserable, but rather deeply disappointed because I had a full 11-day Italy trip planned for this past August that did not happen. So
a lot of cancellations all across the map. And that is true. So let's call it not cancellations. Let's call it postponing.
Okay.
Because it sounds better. And it's truly, that's what it is. We're all going to go back. You know, I had to cancel several events of my own too. But to answer your question, what do one do when there is no travel, right? And if you're addicted to travel like myself, I call myself for the reason travelaholic. So what do you do? Well, basically what you do is you find the way. You don't need to travel far. You can travel close to you, to your place where you live. This is what I did. I am so familiar with the state of New Jersey and Pennsylvania and the local state right now that I can take anyone on intimate trips to anywhere. And I mean, showing you places I have never seen. I've been in vineyards in Pennsylvania that look like Napa Valley. I've been in incredible beaches on the Jersey Shore that I've never seen before. I've done things truly because of COVID that I would have never done because I would be exploring the world. So the thing is, travel is, of course, if you are addicted to exotic travel, then going around New Jersey or Canada won't do it for you. But it's for me, it's about just exploring new places. So I would go to so many new unknown places and just learn about them and have so much fun, you know, from oh my goodness, hiking to doing all kinds of stuff on the lakes. I mean, so much. And so, you know, the happiness comes from traveling itself, but also from planning it. Did you know that I was saying this to people the other day and they found it fascinating. It's just like reaching for the fruit on a tree. You know that the happiest you are just the seconds before your fingertips actually touch the fruit.
Really?
When you have your apple in the hand, the happiness starts slowly dwindling down. So the same is with happiness. So when you are actually planning your trip, this is the most exciting time. So take this time now when you cannot travel and plan this most extravagant trip of your life.
So here's a question for you. Cause I totally get what you're saying. So how do you help people deal with the relative disappointment? Because to me, I mean, I've been planning the Italy trip for 3 years for our, we take our four kids. We had everyone vote on what Airbnb we were going to be staying in. We had all of our tours all planned. Everything was mapped out. We would have been ready to go. And obviously we can't do that now. So I live in Ontario and we're very limited in travel, even within some provinces. So we've got Quebec, and Quebec is beautiful and wonderful. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
depending on the day, we can or cannot go to Quebec because they're even worse than we are. So how do you help people, or what do you say to people when they're like, yeah, okay, I hear you, Yola, but like Paris, Ontario, which exists, and not Paris, France, right? Rome, Ontario also exists. I believe is not the same as, you know, the Rome that I cried when I left there, when my husband and I went in 2018. So how do you help people deal with that relative disappointment and then feed instead into being just as excited and getting that same dopamine hit in the planning and the expectation and the anticipation of an actual travel, but more within your area? How do you help people with that?
Okay. So with that, what I do is, of course, you know, I could pretend that this is a magic wand. Hey, Rebecca, you got this, go. Mm-hmm. No, it's not going to happen. I'm not a magician, so I can't change that for you, right?
Right.
It all has to happen in your head. So while you're doing this, I'm sure you prepared for your Italy trip. I'm sure everything is said. You have your tours done. You did some reading maybe, or maybe you don't do it. Maybe you just were counting on all the guides, local guides, to show you everything. But whatever it is, I know that you could have done something more to prepare better for that trip. So my twist would be, do more preparation and more getting excited about this trip, what you haven't done yet, like go deeper.
So like push it. So assume that it's coming. So yes. But it's going to be later. So I have more time to learn Italian now, as opposed to being disappointed. Yeah,
you go and you order your full dinner in full fluent Italian. But that's mm-hmm. just obviously one of an examples. What I want you to do is get so excited preparing for this trip and getting so deep. Now, maybe you'll find out something that going now you wouldn't do because you didn't know about, but now you have a little bit more time to learn more. Mm-hmm. But once you go there, you kill it because you'll be such an expert of the area where you're going that mm-hmm. there will be just no way. So what I'm saying is, obviously there is not much you can do, but what you can do while you're right now home, there is amazing Italian restaurants, right? Take a freaking family to an Italian restaurant. If you're drinking wine, order the wine from the region you're going. Do the best you can to, you know, get that vibe going. You know, because honestly, this is how I deal with this. I was preparing my coaching retreat, which was supposed to happen in Peru this year. Mm-hmm. Last year I had unbelievable event in Bali, and this year I had to cancel. What a disappointment. But guess what? While this happened, I went deeper. And what I now know, I didn't know last month. So whoever's coming on me on this next one will be like, yay, Yola, awesome. You know? So this is what I'm talking about. Just a little bit more preparation and we'll be mm-hmm. better off. And in the meantime, do what you can to just clean your brain from all that debris that is there. You know, you needed vacation. You perhaps need to take a few days off anyway. Which, mm-hmm. you know, don't just wait for the vacation because we don't know what's going to happen. It could mm-hmm. happen next year. It could mm-hmm. happen, you know.
Yeah. But I liked what you had to say about, like, you really know, like, all the vineyards in your area and, you know, beaches that you've never seen before. And so I think that's a huge opportunity for people to say, okay, well, I couldn't go there, but where somewhere, so I'll just use my area. So we're in Ontario. We're somewhere I haven't been. And we have a huge, huge wine country in Niagara. And there are lots and lots and lots of wineries. Now, obviously with COVID, there's restrictions and maybe it takes a little bit more planning to make sure that everything's open or, you know, if you need to schedule times or like however stuff works. But I think your point is, if I understood it correctly, that we should take our time and said, okay, we can't go there, but we can go here and we can make an adventure out of it. And still have a lot of fun. Is that kind of something you're suggesting?
100%. Unbelievable stuff you can do locally, which, mm-hmm. like I said, I always done because my philosophy in life is I'll take a couple of long vacations a year. I try to go as our mentors, you know, suggest quarterly. I go further. I go monthly. I do weekend getaways too. Everything is in my calendar, because if it's not in the calendar, just like everything else, it's not going to happen. Yep. So I plan this stuff, right? But at the same time, I leave myself also always opportunity to be surprised. So if somebody pops in, friend or somebody, hey, listen, actually, a couple of weeks ago, I got invited to go on this beautiful Delaware River rafting. I had something already, I had client I couldn't do, but wouldn't that be planned? Would have happened. And it's again, something whitewater rafting I haven't done. I would have loved that. So stuff like that, you know, just there is so much. And I understand there is different regions. There's not, you know, state of New Jersey, perhaps more attractions, New York, Pennsylvania, but it's not about that. Be creative. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm talking travel. This is what makes me happy. Not everyone is looking for that happiness from travel. So whatever you know that makes you happy, try to do more of that.
You know what I often hear from people, which is interesting. So this is the second interview I've done where it's focused in and around happiness specifically. Mm-hmm. So I asked Dr. Mark this question. How do you know what makes you happy?
Oh,
is it a beautiful question? Yeah. So I'm not going to give you some suggestions. How do you know that something makes you happy? Because I had a relationship with someone and I asked that question, what makes you happy? And his answer was, well, I don't know. And so my answer was, well, then I don't know either. So I'm going to go that way.
I love this question because you and I are coaches and we often ask this question to people, right? So what makes you happy? What makes you the happiest? And how interesting enough, that is this dead silence on the other end. Most of them, if you ask people, what doesn't make you happy? They just keep going, baby, right? So the thing is, what makes you happy is different for everyone, right? And I don't have one thing that I will give you on a silver platter. Here, Rebecca, this is the recipe. For me, it's travel generally, right? But what makes me happy is that feeling inside of absolute peace, flow, bliss. No matter what, those are my words for 2021, by the way, flow and bliss. No matter what I do, I try to take it easy. Like, I hustled too many years in my life. I it was all the grind and doing this all hard way. And now I'm all about ease. So if I feel this inside, you see, I live differently now. I am enjoying my day by day, because that's what I preach. We live to the fullest. We should be living to the fullest, because as I say in my presentation, there's only on average 30,000 days in a human life. Baby, we better live it to the fullest, because there's not that much left, right? So what makes me happy is really that incongruence with me, that I don't force myself to do things. You know, if it doesn't feel good, well, sometimes we have to, but if it doesn't feel good, I will make my best. I do my best not to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes we do the things we don't want to do because it leads us to something that is ultimately what's going to make us happy. Right. Like when I started, I did virtual businesses before virtual businesses were cool. I've been running a virtual company now for 10 years. And so when COVID finally hit and everyone's like, oh, wow, like working virtually. And I'm like, welcome to my office, ladies and gents. But I did that because when I worked for corporate Canada, I was miserable. I hated it. I hate no matter how many people were in that office, someone's looking at a watch, you know, oh, well, you're 5 minutes late, or office politics. And I never played a good game. I was very undiplomatic. I just awful. So when I started my own business, I was like very, very clear about what made me happy. And I don't want to have an office. So I built a virtual business. I researched how to do it. And I still have it to this day. I don't want and never will have, and I will happily put this in writing, that I will never, ever have a bricks and mortar organization. Maybe if my business gets big enough and somebody else wants to go there, knock your socks off. I just don't like it for myself. That's what makes me happy, because everyone else is in their productive states, wherever makes them the happiest. And then I have overall a happy team, you know, and the same thing goes for relationships. You know, I've had a couple of really crappy ones. And then, as most people know, if you follow me on Facebook, I absolutely adore my husband. I was gonna
By the
say
way,
my
happy belated
husband.
Birthday to him.
Thank you. He's 49. It'll be 50 next year. So, you know, queue up for the party. I'm going to live stream that sucker. But when when I was going through my rough patches, I became very aware that I wasn't clear on what made me happy in a relationship. So I just sat down. I don't know if I wrote this stuff out or if I just thought it. I always encourage my clients to write out this stuff. If you could picture, and this was actually confirmed in Darren Hardy's book, The Compound Effect, where he was searching for a life partner. If you can picture in the greatest detail,
I read that.
All
that
the aspects, right? Great book.
Absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah.
But you write out exactly what you want, not whether or not you can get it, but you just write out perfect scenario. This is what I want. And I did that. And so when Mark stepped into my life, when he just said hello at the community pool, when his kids were having lessons and so were mine, you know, a few conversations in, I'm like, I'm going to put a ring on that.
Yeah.
Right. Because I became very, very clear. I'm just going to now flip this around. Lisa Nichols spoke at a conference I attended last year where she said she was so low on herself and her future and her prospects that she couldn't dream enough to be able to identify that. But she became extremely clear on what she didn't want. And that can work too. So either you move towards something or you move very quickly away from something, at least being clear about either of those things, preferably the positive, because I think it's better for our just general well-being. Mm-hmm. But to me, happiness is, it's a process, but it's also, it's not just a feeling. It is a goal. It's a dream, and it's moving towards that dream. And where I derive a lot of my happiness is it's not that every day is a thrill ride, right? Some days are hard. Today I'm very tired. I keep having crappy sleeps because I'm doing way too much right now, but I know it's a process and it'll end soon. So we have our down days, but by and large, I am doing something every day, hard work or not. And sometimes my most joyous work is a little hard just because I'm a little tired, but that makes me happy.
Yes.
Right. 100%. And that's kind of the way I was looking at it. Anyway, over
so,
to you.
So bringing it home, you know, and touching it exactly on my happy place, which is the mm-hmm. world generally. Mm-hmm. I, you know, when you talked about this, you know, describing the ideal partner, I did that with travel. You know, I have vision boards.
Sure.
I had, when I couldn't travel, I was born in a black and white Poland. I couldn't afford traveling anywhere. Mm. I basically worked at night in a light bulb factory to make my first money to go on a trip on college. But mm-hmm. when I actually did it, you know, I guess that was my inspired action. Just dreaming alone, it's not going to happen. You got to do something to make it happen, right?
Yeah,
so I worked my butt off, got my money, went on that trip. And the interesting thing happened. I was there with 11 other people and my tour guide didn't speak English. Believe it or not, he was a German speaking guy. Well, guess what? In Scandinavia, people besides the tongue, mother tongue, speak mostly English. So what did mm-hmm. Yola do? Yola did help him with everything. And after that, I realized, so he's getting paid for the work I do. Interesting. What happened right after I came back from the trip? I got myself a license as a tour guide because I speak a few languages. I got licensed with 4 different languages. Mm-hmm. And guess what, baby? The world became open for me. I started traveling all over the globe and I got paid for it. So this is how I manifested my very first travel. What I do now is I have this beautiful vision board. I have places that, you know, like my absolute number one dream destination is Bora Bora.
What is it? Bora Bora. Oh, I'll come
French
with you.
Polynesia. Absolutely. Mm. It's sitting on, I have multiple pictures on this big vision board I have. And guess what? It's there. And it's there. And I look at this all the time. And I know that one day, Rebecca, I will call you from that. Or maybe we'll be sitting next to me then. Who knows, right? But
yeah.
We'll be sitting at the coffee table that has a glass top. We're having morning coffee. They just deliver on a beautiful long boat filled with flowers, our breakfast. And then underneath this table, we have a cup. Colorful tropical fish swimming, because that's what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Sounds that's good, perfect. Right? You know what? I'll do that. And then we're going to fly to my dream destination, which is the Maldives. 25-year plan.
Hey, there you go. And I tell you something. This is a free advice for everyone. Hop on travelzoo.com. They just right now selling Maldives for 5 days for a couple of $2,000. It's like, what?
You can get 10 days for $2,500.
Crazy.
And
with
it's like
overwater bungalows. Exactly.
Yep.
That's just the advice, not related really to this topic, but
no, but we should all go to the Maldives. No, absolutely. Like realistically speaking,
absolutely. You know,
the ice caps are melting. It's going to disappear.
So manifesting things, it's huge. I learned this from Rachel Hollis, and honestly, I did that. I started doing this January of last year, so 2019. So she, besides the gratitude journal, I practice this thing that I write every day, 10 big audacious dreams, like they already happened. Like this crazy stuff, like I would be ashamed to say it because people are like, this one's a little loco, crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not gonna be ashamed of my big dreams. That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I did that. And last year alone, two of these dreams came true.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
But that's how it works. I mean, it's neurological. Like some people think that it's like some divine kind of a thing, and whether it is or it isn't, you know, I chalk it up to science, because when you feed your brain, especially when you use in like, it's already done, your brain looks for opportunities where that is actually the case.
Exactly.
So you may have had the same opportunities this year, but if you hadn't written those down, your brain wouldn't have been paying attention to it. Right. Yes. So because your brain pays attention to it, then that's what we move towards. So I love the idea of writing your dreams out as if they've already happened, because a lot of people make the mistake of saying one day, someday, and then those aren't days of the week. So one day and someday just don't arrive because it's not on a calendar.
Exactly.
And so you know, you don't get there. But if you do it like, well, it's already done, your brain's just like, oh, well, you know, let's get that they tried to kind of pull from our memories. And anyway, it's really, really neat how the brain works.
Yes. And I also love, I got really involved since November of last year into all the energetic works, like connections to universe, all this, you know, really, really fascinating stuff. And I love Paulo Coelho saying that you know, the universe will conspire, you know, it will help you. If you really put your mind into energetically, that's another amazing idea for people to consider. Again, don't deny it before you try it. Bring yourself energetically to that level of happiness that you wish to be in.
What does that mean?
Okay, what does that mean? That if I want to feel really, really happy, I'll try to think of a moment in my life that I was drunk happy. Like, not drunk, alcohol drunk, but like happy that you could not describe it in a hurry. And the whole exercise is to bring that moment of happiness to you, that you feel it with every fiber of your body.
Mm-hmm.
To exercise that often, that will eventually make you feel that. It's just like it's sort of like a manifesting, but that is like, you have to be at the frequency and vibration of the happiness you want.
So is that like a fake it till you make it kind of a thing?
No, because when you bring yourself to that frequency, you actually feel it in that moment. You're not faking it. So it's not like, okay, I have a bottle of water here and I said, oh, this is amazing champagne, Rebecca, I'm going to have it and I'm going to be, oh, no, not like that. You got to bring that memory, really think about it so like intensely, maybe it's sort of like a meditation for you, I don't know, but it brings you to that state, to that state of that happiness. And I'm not guaranteeing you that, you know, 5 minutes later, it's going to land on your lap, but this is how it works. You just try to bring that frequency often. Mm-hmm. And that's what your natural state become eventually, you know? So it's a practice. I honestly am also new to it. I only started November of last year. So what? I'm not even a year into all this, but it's working really good.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's whatever you're doing, it's a habit forming, right? Yeah. So when you do something often enough, it becomes a habit because you don't even think about doing it anymore. And it's when you're not thinking about it, but it naturally happens, that you know you've hit the habit level. Yes. If you're always thinking about it, you're not thinking about it often enough and not creating that habit, that behavior, so that it will become a habit. And that's what, you know, again, as high performance coaches, this is where we try to get people to, right? Of thinking and believing in a certain way, whether it's about yourself, whether it's about travel, whether it's about partners, whether it's about energetically, you know, like bringing more happiness into your life. Whichever one of these things, whichever practice really means something to you, it's about being habitual, like, and not just saying, well, I'll get to it when I get to it. You know, I was talking to a client today and bless his soul. You know, I was saying, how do you make sure that stuff gets done? He's like, oh, it's all in my head. And I'm like, mm-hmm. So, and at the end of the call, we went through all the things that had fallen out of his head. And he's like, oh yeah, got to put that on my list. And I'm like, so what we've learned today, ladies and gentlemen, is that if something isn't written down, if something isn't practiced, if something isn't planned, then it just isn't done. And you know this phrase, and it's one of my absolute favorite phrases: commitment and cowardice show up in the calendar. If it isn't planned, then you have not committed to it. Whether it's in your calendar, whether it's on a plan, because I have my client, he's now, his homework is, I want to see a 16-month plan where everything you're going to do is slotted in that I know that you're going to do that, because he wants to double his business. Well, then you got to double your activity. Well, then he can't be in your head, right? Yeah. So, and I think the same thing goes with travel. Yeah. You have to make it, if you want that continual happiness hit of, I love to travel, because I do love to travel. My husband and I would travel 2 or 3 times a year. I travel 4 or 5 times for speaking engagements. And then we'd have our family travel, with our kids, usually 2 or 3 times a year as well, both weekend trips and, longer big trips. Like every 2 years, we take a really big expensive trip. Our bank accounts cry for a little bit, but then they regenerate. But you see, right now it's kind of, everything just seems to be kind of thrown up in the air. And it's like frozen water on the plains in Manitoba, where I grew up, where it gets to 50 below, it just kind of hovers and people just don't know quite what to do with it. But I think, and again, if I want to bring this full circle to the beginning of the conversation, it's that we can still plan to travel. Like for instance, maybe we don't want to stay in a hotel. So that's a bit tricky, especially with 4 children, and work schedules and stuff like that. Also tricky, but not impossible. And I think a lot of people will have sort of really scaled back significantly in the way that they view their world. Their world has become very, very small because they have made it so. Now, also because COVID has made this small. So let's not pretend that this is just, people, globally thinking in a smaller way. But I think we can challenge ourselves. If you don't want to go stay in a hotel because you're not comfortable, then, there are tons of day trips you can take, lots of different ways to do so safely. And it's the idea of planning something. I was reading, that's the funniest thing in the world. I don't know why I'm thinking this now, but I was reading, I think it BuzzFeed for my mental brainless moments of watching the commercials on TV, that Dolly Parton with her husband, who've been married for 54 years, they plan well in advance. She makes all of their favorite foods. They put it in a picnic basket and they just drive along the river until they decide to stop. Yeah. And then they pull in and they just enjoy their dinner. Right. And I thought that was
it's not for everyone, but it's a really awesome way of doing this,
but it makes them happy.
Yes.
Right. That makes them happy, exactly. Right. Being together and eating their favorite meal together. Yeah. That makes them happy. And I think, I just want to kind of challenge the listeners tonight or whenever you're watching this video, really think the basics of what makes you happy. Make it simple, make it so that there's something you can do that's tangible and doable. Like my husband and I went on a hike this past weekend to the spot where he asked me to marry him.
Oh, cool.
And it's like, 7 or 8 years ago, I think eight, that's what we're going on. And you know what? We just went there and we sat and we remembered, and you know what? It was absolutely wonderful.
That's wonderful.
And it brought back so much joy. And again, there's things like that everyone I think can do.
Yeah. And if I could add a bonus to this, and we could be, I think it would be a really nice wrap up thing. Mm-hmm. Tony Robbins says this so cool, that if you replace your expectation with appreciation, your world would change in a minute. And it goes for everything. Because now check this out. Even taking your trip as an example to Italy, you had expectations that you're going. It was taken away from you and now you're miserable, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you replace it just for a minute, well, first of all, I am able to go to Italy. Second of all, I will still go to Italy. It will be better because it's going to be better prepared and I will appreciate it 3 times better.
Right.
If you replace it with that, man, are you going to be
instant? It changes things, doesn't it?
Yes.
It brings back that happiness.
Everything about, I used to be this, I'm not going to call myself bad names now, but it was the BITCH. That's how you spell it.
You got it.
Right.
Yep.
That was that every single thing was, people give it to me. It, of course I deserve it. What do you mean? And it was a disappointment sometimes because it wasn't delivered the way I wanted, even. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it was, but not in a form I wanted. So those expectations, I got so much more humble here. And now, I am such a big, I appreciate the smallest things. Like I'm like a kid. And I think that gives happiness too, just appreciate. Did you notice how people can be in the most amazing event experience? At that moment, you think they're kind of happy. You ask them the next day and they almost like, huh? Like, live, try to take this energy for a little bit longer, savor it, like don't let it go right away, you know? So this is that's how I go about it. And I'm like this happy kalaki. I don't know. I drink my Kool-Aid all the time.
We all have to drink our own Kool-Aid. As long as it tastes good, as long as it helps others. Right. Well, you know, Yola, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts about travel and happiness and kind of what to do and kind of give people some opportunities to shake themselves out of that sort of that holding pattern and being able to do something that will make them ultimately happy no matter what's going on in the world, because the restrictions may ease, they may close. It's going to be different for everybody all over the world, but we control our happiness and we control whether we allow things to bring us down or if we say, okay, so plan A, B, C, D, and E and F didn't work out, but there's still the rest of the alphabet. And there's always something we can do. So,
and we're going to talk about so many different aspects of happiness in the actual masterclass.
It's
mind blowing. Like people like will be like, whew, they never even thought about these things that there exist that they could change things for them. So that, I'm excited.
And yeah, so that again, that's the Take Charge Challenge coming soon on September 29th, September 29th, 30th, and October the 1st. 12 coaches, 1 hour each, back to back. And if you want, you can also pay a little bit more for the VIP ticket to get all the recordings plus 6 books by authors that are going to be sharing stuff with you on this actual summit. So again, the link is going to be in the comments.
On giving, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it keeps on giving, and it's up to us to be open to receiving.
Yeah,
and that's the other piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
All right. Yola, have a wonderful evening and I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Yes. By the way, I'm having Italian dinner. I'll be thinking about you.
Oh, very good.
Ciao.
Thanks.